Chris Miles was able to retire twice by the time he was 39 years old. But he's not content to just enjoy his own financial freedom and peace of mind. Chris wants you to have your own ripple effect so you can live free today. He's not the financial advisor you expected. He's the anti-financial advisor you deserve. He's jumping behind the mic right now, ready to make waves. Here's Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Guys, I'm so excited to welcome you to the show that's for you and it's about you. Those of you that work so hard for your money and you're ready for your money, start working harder for you now. You want that freedom, that cash flow, that prosperity today, not 30 or 40 years from now, but right now. So you can live that life that you love, doing what you love with those that you love. But guys, so much more than that. It's about giving a life of meaning and purpose, creating a ripple effect through the lives of others by using these resources to bless more lives. And guys, thank you so much for allowing me to create a ripple effect through you. Thank you for binging, for sharing this with others, for allowing this podcast to grow bigger and bigger all the time. And man, guys, this is so exciting. It's been such a thrill being a part of this ride. So thank you so much. As a reminder, you can check out our website, moneyripples.com, including the blog section where we've got videos as well. You subscribe to our YouTube channel, The Money Ripples with Chris Miles. Hey guys, quick shout out to our sponsor, American Homeowner Preservation. Hey guys, if you want to make a great rate of return with little money out of pocket, even as little as $100, and do it while helping other people as well, check these guys out. The website's fundingahp.com. The way they do it, they crowdfund money, people's money together to go and help essentially become the bank. They buy people's mortgages that are defaulting, people that are late on their mortgages. They help them refinance, stay in their home and or sell their home so that they can be in a better financial position. And the cool thing is that they pay awesome returns and they pay it monthly. And like I said, you can invest with as little as $100. So check them out. Website's fundingahp.com. That's fundingahp.com. Check them out. So guys, I actually just got back from vacation. I don't know if you knew this. The previous really like 15, 16 episodes, I had pre-recorded prior to Christmas, right? So I pre-recorded everything, went on vacation, and then came back now in February. So I'm refreshed and kind of ready to go. Got lots of great ideas, lots of great episodes coming up for you. That you're gonna love. In fact, I had a hard time just picking which one to do first, but I decided to go with one that I know is very timely. It's got to be something addressed now, not later, because right now there's this massive euphoria going on in the economy, the markets, and everything. This crazy euphoria, and I know many of you told me this. You say, Chris, something just feels off. Something doesn't feel right. It feels like what's going on is fake. It's not real. But for some of you, because you have your money attached to some of these things, you want it to be real, right? You want it to be real so badly, and you don't want to miss the boat. You don't want to have that FOMO, right? You don't want to fear missing out. But I want to talk about really like what's to come. I talked about my 2021 predictions. I actually recorded that back before Christmas, and it's kind of playing out so far, kind of what we talked about, right? Definitely 2021 could be a big up year for those in the stock market. Definitely Bitcoin's taken off. You know, Tesla, they just announced bought $1.5 billion worth of Bitcoin that they can hold in their reserves. And that just skyrockets Bitcoin to the T, right? To the Tesla. that was a dumb joke. Anyways, but I mean, it's just driving the prices up. And of course, there's going to be dumb money to follow that too. Whether it's legit or not, it doesn't matter. Money follows that. It could easily push this thing up over 50,000. That being said, there's still warning signs that are around us. And those of us that are watching these signs will be prepared. So I'm going to refer to a book for you guys to read here. It's a book called The Next Great Depression by James Rickards. Now, Jim, I've been trying to get him on my show. Maybe I'll still be able to get him on, but he's a tough cookie to get on here because he is highly sought after. But I'll tell you that, you know, he's got five other books, like including The Currency Wars, books he's even written back from the last recession and things going on with other countries and other things going on that's influencing what's going on here, right? Including, and now he addressed in this book about the coronavirus, how does that affect everything? What is going to start happening with our economy? Because right now, because government is printing money by the trillions and trillions of dollars, right? I mean, just massive amounts of money, and it's not stopping. Now, everybody's saying, hey, we're going to have massive hyperinflation. So everybody's running to Bitcoin, running to gold, running to the stocks, right? Running to even real estate, which can drive those things up. His point is this, though. And granted, you want to take everything with a grain of salt, just like I do. And by the way, everything we're mentioning on this show is not a recommendation for buying or selling or doing any kind of investment decisions here, right? This is purely just based on his opinion and information he's giving, but he's got great arguments. So his argument is actually there's going to be we're already in a depression, right? Currently, we're in a depression. Even though we're hitting all-time highs in the stock market, we are currently in a depression, not just a recession, but a depression. And more important, and he brings up a lot of the economic factors, like even what's going on with not just the unemployment, but even the GDP. The GDP has been suffering, but nobody's talking about that, right? We're all talking about speculation, which that's the most dangerous time to be in the markets is when there's massive speculation. When you hear things about GameStop going on and all the manipulation going there, and you're hearing about all these other tech companies that are just skyrocketing. Now, some of them legitimately are making money, but a lot of them are making higher on the stock price than they're ever justifying on the money side. And that's all because there's this hope and prayer that, you know, they were in this euphoric condition, believing that somehow everything's going to end soon. With the vaccine, everything's going to stop, and voila, our lives are magically better. The truth is the vaccine actually doesn't stop the virus. It doesn't cure the virus. It just masks the symptoms, which means you're still a carrier, which means you're still a risk to everybody, which means you still have to keep masking up, which means they have to be careful about what they open or close. And if there's a spike, they might close something again. And all this kind of junk that's going on, right, that can affect our economy. None of that's really being addressed. Everything's based on what you see in the markets as massive hopium. It's just massive hopium. Everybody's smoking hopium right now, hoping that things will just go right back to normal and the economy will just boom right back. Here's the reality, though, is that there are things under the surface right now, like the GDP, and things that aren't booming right back, that are actually, even in a good scenario, might still take several years to dig out of this hole. And that's what happened in the last depression. It took years to dig out. Even though there was ups, market highs and lows, there was upswings and there was downswings, right? Everybody talks about the crash of the Great Depression from the 1929 on, right? But the truth is that the market actually had a couple of different recessions during that period of time, very similar to the early 2000s. So his argument is it's not going to be hyperinflation, at least short term, it's going to be deflation. His argument is going to be deflation, which completely changes all the strategies you might be trying to do right now. Because here's the thing, in a deflationary market, right, the dollar actually becomes worth more. See, we're used to the hyperinflation or even just inflation where the dollar increasingly becomes worth less. The government and the feds both have this partnership together to try to force inflation. They want inflation because when they have their bonds that they issue, basically their government debt, right? When they're issuing it even to other countries or other individuals, when they're doing that, they're banking on the fact that inflation will make their debt worth less, especially if rates are low. So you notice that they crash the rates down to like nothing, right? So right now, bonds and treasuries are low rates. Well, what they're trying to do is they're trying to hope and pray for inflation that will then make that cheaper and cheaper. Just so you know, the government's goal is not to pay off debt ever. They really don't have a goal to pay off debt. As much as we've been sold that little thing from even Republicans, right, that we're going to be fiscally responsible and pay off the debt, they have no intention to pay off the debt. Because just like you, if you knew that your mortgage was only, say, 3% right now, which a lot of you either have your mortgage at that or even lower right now or similar, if you're at 3% and you knew that inflation was going to be 6% a year, why would you pay it off early? You would actually lose money doing that. You would say no, because if inflation is 6%, my net interest rate on this mortgage is actually negative 3%. Because if it's a 3% mortgage minus 6, you're negative 3%, meaning you're gaining 3% a year by not paying off your mortgage. Does that make sense? Because again, with inflation, 6%, if everything keeps going higher, especially if your wages go higher, there's no reason to pay it off because you know that you could pay it off later with cheap, worthless dollars, right? Because the dollars become worth less and less and less. Paying off faster would actually be counterproductive for you. Now, deflation is the opposite. With deflation, it becomes worth more. The dollar becomes more valuable because what happens is prices crash, right? When prices come down, your dollar buys more with it versus inflation where prices skyrocket, your dollars buy less. Well, when the dollar actually gets strength from deflation, where your dollar becomes worth more, you actually want cash. You don't want to have your money in certain places because then all prices start crashing, right? Especially if wages start coming down and things like that. We kind of saw that a little bit in the last recession, but it was very short, very brief. Rickard's proposal here, or his estimate, is that this deflation is going to be crippling, right? And so he talks about things you can do to gear up for that. Now, it could be inflation still, and he even thinks that inflation will still happen. But there are certain places that he's talking about storing money in his kind of portfolio allocation that I'll talk about here. Again, this is not a recommendation to go this route, but this is something to consider, because right now, here's why deflation is a threat. Let's go into that, because you got to know why and why, what even causes it. Because we always know what causes inflation, but what causes deflation? Deflation gets caused when money doesn't exchange hands. See, the faster the money exchanges hands, everybody becomes wealthier. Inflation drives prices up and money just keeps flowing. Well, what happens if people stop spending money, like in the last Great Depression, when there was deflation? And I understand the feds don't want this, again, because they want to make sure that they can afford to pay their bills. They want their debt to become worth less, not worth more. So they have incentive. This is why they tanked rates to zero, or to a quarter on the federal funds rate, to zero to 0.25. On the prime rate, it's like basically prime rate's 3.25% for us, right? As retail buyers and whatnot. So we see these rates crashing down like super low right now. And they're predicting they want to keep those rates low, because again, they want to force inflation. The problem is we've got technology that naturally wants to create deflation. Everything is cheaper with technology. This is why I don't like investing in technology companies, right? Because technology, as time goes on and with competition, they actually get cheaper over time, not more expensive. Think about, like, I just saw a memory in my Facebook where 11 years ago, I bought my MacBook Pro. I bought it for like $2,000. Now, for that same kind of processing memory and same kind of features, I can buy a computer for way less that does way more. Cell phones, same thing. Even though cell phones like Apple iPhones are still pretty expensive, they have to keep adding new features to justify the price, right? Naturally, technology and efficiencies want to drive prices down. You know, when you start to do things more efficiently in your company or with products, you drive prices down. Heck, I even drive my coaching prices down for a time because I said, hey, I can do it more efficiently. I can still make more money and charge people less, you know, on my consulting stuff. And so I drove the prices down a little bit. Now they're driving back up because of demand and things of that nature. But those are the things that happen, right? Here's the other problem. So the government, the treasuries and everybody else said, hey, let's start pumping out money. Let's start doing these stipulations, right? Let's start doing all these little tax incentives, or by giving you this tax refund. So we've been getting all this tax. Well, I haven't gotten any of these refunds, but everybody else is. That's great for them. But a lot of people are getting these tax refunds, these normal, you know, like poor to middle class type of, usually people making under $100,000 a year or less, right? Even with child tax credits, they're talking about doing now too, right? And all this other stuff to help give you money. Why are they trying to give you money? They're trying to do it so you will spend that money. Here's the crazy thing. In years past, they always work on old economic models. This is why there's a threat here. Because when the feds and everybody else have been saying, hey, let's work together, let's make this happen to drive up inflation. Well, the same strategies that might've worked 10, 20, 30 years ago may not work today, because it's still a behavioral psychological thing. Because in people's minds, and think about from your standpoint, especially if you got these checks, you probably just didn't go and blow that money, right? Now, some people did, and they bank on that. Literally, they're banking on you spending that money, consuming it, spending at stores, restaurants, whatever you can do to get that money circulating and paying more people. Because as you start to spend money in other places, people keep their jobs, it helps support prices, they can stay there or even go higher, and things can keep growing. But if you don't spend money, out of fear, you hold on to it, whether it's in savings or you start buying more Bitcoin or stocks and you start inflating those prices instead, but the money's not actually being spent and circulated in the market, in the actual consumer world. Restaurants start shutting down, grocery stores start shutting down or start laying off employees, and other places, tourism fails, right? We're already having that with all the travel restrictions going on. All this stuff is happening, you know, actually just eliminating jobs, killing these jobs, and therefore also starting to drive prices down because they're trying to get money going. We get deflation as a result. Now, if you're banking on gold and Bitcoin and everything else, well, guess what? To some level, those things can work in deflation, but they don't always hold true. Because remember, the dollar becomes worth more. So you actually want to be in a deflationary market. You want to hold on to cash. You want to actually have cash on hand, because your dollars, even though they're just sitting there buried in your backyard, can actually gain value in a deflationary market. I mean, think about how many times you heard people say, and maybe you were one of them like me that said, oh, I wish I had liquid cash available, like a lot of it during the last recession. I could have bought up so much real estate for cheap. deflation, right? We saw real estate deflate. We saw that. And then all of a sudden we're like, oh, if I had cash, that would have been more valuable to buy up that real estate that would then appreciate after that point. Same thing he's talking about happening here. Now, he's not talking about real estate. He's actually saying the opposite about real estate. He's saying that that thing is fine, you know, unless you're talking about commercial real estate. The commercial real estate has farther to drop. But residential real estate, he's saying, is one of the safe havens to go. So let me just give you a quick allocation of what he said, right? I want you to read the book for yourself because there's so many good points in here, so much information and things you can learn that you'll probably have to listen to it a few times or read it a few times or read over the same pages of information. Just so you know, compared to his other books, I think it's actually easier to understand in some ways. All right, so here's his portfolio mix for this post-pandemic world. Again, not a recommendation. So out of 100% of your portfolio, he says 30% goes in cash. So just like we're talking about, cash can be worth more, especially if there's opportunities that come up. He says, hold it in cash. 20% is in treasuries. Now, treasuries are very low risk and they're very deflation resistant, right? Especially with how the government's involved, that can still earn a return and make you money. If you may or may not want to buy treasuries, right? The way I'm doing it, because I don't like buying into the markets like the typical treasuries and bonds, unless I think something tanks dramatically and then I want to buy them up cheap. But that's not the case today. You know, for me, I actually am buying more into my life insurance policy because that invests in treasuries and bonds, a lot of things he's talking about here. So treasuries, that 20%, they're very low risk, deflation resistant. That's the other thing. So cash 30%, treasuries 20%. That's half of your money right there in really deflationary resistant things. Now for the other side, because he knows that there could be inflation too. So he's trying to balance his portfolio. He says 10% gold, especially if there's inflation. You know, he's saying definitely if there's inflation, more than that, more than 10% in gold, because gold will rise in price. And he does predict that gold will rise long-term quite a bit. He even talks about commercial real estate, just not now, but that's something to come for that. Residential real estate, he says 20% in residential real estate. Again, a much more safe haven to be in. And then only 10% in equities. What are equities? Some of you already know this, but 10% equities. Equities are the stock market, right? When you buy stocks and companies, those are equities. He's saying only 10% in equities and then 10% in alternatives. So that could be things like maybe you're investing in oil or maybe you're investing in, you know, notes or things of that nature, like alternative types of investments and that sort of thing. Or the miscellaneous category if you want to do it. So again, it's 30% cash, 20% treasuries. Again, I just solve that by stuffing a lot of money in my life insurance right now, which kind of takes it both into account because I can keep cash available, which can rise in deflationary times. And I've got treasuries as part of that, their portfolio mix. Then 10% gold, 20% real estate, and then 10% equities like stocks, and then 10% alternatives. Again, I'm not saying this is the recommendation, but he's saying, hey, with deflationary times, look to have more cash available. Look to have this going. For me personally, I'm buying up real estate still. Like I'm loving what's going on because with the low rates, it's still driving up the prices of real estate. That's the thing is everybody thinks, oh, there's a bubble because you're still remembering the last bubble. Thing is, you forgot about the bubble that was in the market last time before, really a whole decade of bubble in the market, right? And it's being created again. There's even crazy stuff going on with IPOs and just market manipulation. That's the big reason why I don't want to be in the stock market. That's why you should be cautious of being in places like the stock market where you have zero control, zero ability to influence the prices of that, right? Now with real estate, at least if things are going to change, it doesn't change on a whim, like on a day, like Bitcoin, right? Bitcoin can drop 20% in a day still. It can go up 20% in a day, but it's crazy. Like that's kind of stuff that's more gambling. We've talked about that, right? But I mean, that can be fine. But you know, guys, you got to make sure you're still going for those safe havens, those places that allows you to come out stronger when that next, really, we're already in the depression, right? When things start to really hit the fan, when you start to see everything that we've been talking about really for years, that's overdue. This is like when people say in Salt Lake City, the earthquake is over 50 years overdue, the big one. They talk about that. Hey, we know it's coming. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't keep living life, but it does mean you are prepared, that you make sure you have those things in place for when it has does happen, you come out like a rock star. So guys, I definitely recommend getting that book by James Rickards, The Next Great Depression. You should definitely check it out. Anyways, guys, I want you to be prosperous. I want you to be really everything we talk about on the show. I want you to be free, and you cannot be free if you live in fear. You cannot ever have financial freedom when there's fear and gambling going on in what's going on in your life. You need to make sure that you are set financially. You need to make sure that cash flow is always coming in. This is why we talk about so much about passive income, because you need that to keep coming in. So guys, that's my recommendation for you, is watch yourselves, watch your money, be a wise steward of it. Anyways, guys, make it a wonderful and prosperous week. We'll see you later.
Visit us online at moneyripples.com for more resources to help you fix money leaks and get your money working harder for you now.